And this is going to be really fun. Frank and I have decided to do a new little mini podcast. Every week or every couple weeks here, we're going to showcase what we would like to refer to as a shitty amazing film. And this is also, if for any director or writer or crew or cast member were to ever hear any of this, we are championing these movies. We love these movies. The phrase shitty amazing would apply to the fact that some of these movies were either low budget, they were sent direct to video, some sort of stigma attached to them in some way, maybe they didn't perform well at the box office, were dismissed by critics. But these are movies that we feel are worth your time, despite maybe some questionable elements, and they should be tracked down.
Each and every one of these movies knows what it is and it goes for it.
Exactly. So without further ado, our first shitty amazing movie will be the 1988 action thriller Shakedown, which
Blue Jean Cop.
Blue Jean Cop. And this is one to go look up online. This is written and directed by B-movie master James Glickenhouse, who also directed McBain with Christopher Walken, which could easily figure into this series down the road. It's got cinematography by John Lindley. Look him up if you don't know his credits. They're amazing. And essentially what this is a sort of courtroom drama, sort of action cop movie with Peter Weller as a district attorney, Sam Elliott as the Blue Jean Cop, and the two of them sort of reluctantly become pseudo-partners to take down a bad guy. And I just want to sort of read just for a second Roger Ebert's review. This is dated May 8th, 1988. 3 stars, if they ever stopped to collect the dead bodies in a movie like Shakedown, the hero would have to play a coroner. But a movie like this never looks back, and Shakedown is very definitely a movie like this. It's an assembly of sensational moments strung together by a plot that provides the excuses for amazing stunts and not much else. But then, not much else is needed. So to sort of back up what Frank was saying, this is one of those movies that knows exactly what it is, exactly what it wants to do, and it did it on a relatively low budget. I think that it more or less came and went in theaters rather quickly. I want to say maybe it did like $10 million or something, but it is one of those movies that played on HBO, and I think a lot of people probably were exposed to it in the cable rotation days.
Right now, currently, and depending on when we drop this, it is on HBO On Demand. Go now. And, I mean, you need to see this movie for the sole fact that it's Peter Weller and Sam Elliott in this movie. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this other than this is why you need to see the movie. Because Peter Weller's introduction shot in the movie is him throwing, like, everything in his refrigerator in this fucking blender to Jimi Hendrix. And then it quick cuts up to Peter Weller singing along with Jimi Hendrix.
On cassette.
And I was just instantly sold from and to say nothing about the blue screen. When we post this, you will see the blue screen, the greatest use of blue screen in cinema history is in this film.
And this is one of the things, too. This is one of those movies where the budget wasn't there. I mean, they probably had $10 million to make legitimately a $50 million action film. This movie has people hanging off of plane wheels. It has multiple car chases. It has an out-of-control roller coaster that goes off the track. All of that done fairly for real or with amazing models. And one of the things that really reminds you of is that this is, 1988. So we're almost 30 years. This movie is almost 30 years old. And it was made without any sort of pretension. This was made before CGI, before computers made everybody lazy. As Frank said, there are some incredibly bad shots of Sam Elliott in front of a blue screen towards the end. But it's also mixed in with some absolutely phenomenal stunt work. Things that honestly you look at and you say, how did somebody not get killed doing this? And that's one of the things, the integrity that some of these movies had, these B movies, some of them from Canon Films. This was not a Canon movie. This actually, this was almost released by the Dino De Laurentiis, but I believe he went.
And then his.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when that, you know, here's fun fact about DEG Productions, and one thing that people like to rub in my face every once in a while whenever I tell them that Manhunter is better than Silence of the Lambs, which it isn't, but it is the fact that when Manhunter got released, DEG was in liquidation, and that's why that movie never got like a huge rollout in theaters and stuff like that. So there's a little fun fact, but the thing about this film is it's so fucking shitty amazing that it should have been a canon film. I don't know how this wasn't a canon film.
It doesn't, you're right. It doesn't make any sense that this wasn't a canon film. It's almost, actually, to be honest with you, it's almost a little too good. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because I love canon films. I got my t-shirt. I watched 50-50 last night, for God's sake. I mean, like, I love canon movies. But this felt like almost a little too polished for canon in a way. You know, Glickenhaus, like I said in the opening, you know, the director of McBain, he also did some really gritty stuff like The Exterminator, and like I'm trying to remember what the other one was, The Protector, I think. These are some like 70s, 80s, you know, really low budget, gritty actioners. Glickenhaus knew what he was doing with the stunts in this film. Like, he knew what he was doing with the action. I mean, like, you know, it has definitely that sense of integrity. But you're right. You're absolutely right. It does feel in many instances like a canon film that escaped the reach of canon.
Yeah, and I mean, I need to reiterate this again. I don't know how I can say it again, but everybody needs to see, if you like Sam Elliott, and especially if you like Peter Weller, this is just the fucking movie for you. And I mean, it has that good 80s cast. It's got Jude, what the hell is that guy's name? That's been in, like, everything. He was in 24. Cicaletta, you know who I'm talking about? I guess I could look it up on IMDb, but it's more fun trying to mispronounce or remember the guy, the guy's name, you know? John C. McGinley. I mean, John C. McGinley. Everybody loves John C. McGinley.
McGinley has some great scenes. Yeah, I mean, it's
right.
Like Antonio Fargas.
Right, it's just obnoxious, man. It's so good.
And Sam Elliott plays one of the most grizzled, it's really only the kind of role that Sam Elliott could have taken. I mean, like, I could picture so few other actors in this role. And, you know, this is one of the yet another film that I would find very hard to believe that in any incarnation would get made in this day and age. And it's a further reminder of sort of what the 80s and 90s, sort of this treasure trove of these types of movies. Sort of the unpretentious action thriller not based on any pre-existing material. And, you know, when you see stunts that are done where people are jumping off of planes and from cars to cars, and you know that it's being done for real, yeah, there's a level of excitement to that that I think is missing in some of the stuff that comes out these days. And there's a sense of fun. That's the other thing, too, is that this movie at all times, even when it gets kind of nasty with its violence and its action, it's just a fucking blast. Like, it's totally fun.
Yeah, this is quintessentially, this movie's like a cataclysm of Nick browbeating me into watching this. Cause, no, I can't remember what happened first. Did you make me watch McBain first? I think it was like McBain, and then you're like, dude, Shakedown. I'm like, ah.
Somebody,
I'm like, I don't know.
Someone online, a Facebook friend said, Nick, have you seen Shakedown? And it sounded familiar. But when I finally did see it, I realized, no, I had not seen Shakedown. So it always goes to show that there's always somebody out there who's going to know about a movie before you. And I'm really glad that this person put this movie on my radar and that I told you to check it out. Because you just say to yourself, 1988, Peter Weller, Sam Elliott, cop movie.
And it's called Shakedown.
Shakedown, a.k.a. Blue Jean Cop. How have
yes.
I not seen this movie? And it's just like,
right.
You know, the 80s were filled with these kind of titles that just came and went and, you know, did a small amount of business and then went and had a huge life on video and cable and HBO. Blue Jean Cop, by the way, is the international title.
Yes, I was just waiting. I've been waiting the whole time to explain the Blue Jean Cop thing. I saw somebody post the French. There's not an American Blu-ray, or I should say Region 1 Blu-ray of it yet. It's just you can rent it on Amazon, or you can buy the DVD for like $7, which everybody should do. But yeah, I saw somebody post the French Blu-ray of it, and it's just it's like Sam Elliott's ass in Levi jeans, and it just says Blue Jean Cop, and I mean, our love blossomed so much more for that film once we saw that, and then to the point where Nick and I will only call this film Blue Jean Cop, because it is the most absurd title I think I've ever seen.
Somehow it has escaped me that this is available on Region 2 Blu-ray.
Yeah, I'm surprised you have not bought this.
The DVD is definitely solid. However, a French Blu-ray of Blue Jean Cop seems like something that probably should get purchased in the near future.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to look at it again. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, did you just type in Blue Jean Cop and it's just, yes. Where's the... Where is the... Oh, you should just see... Oh, you should see the UK quad. Oh, my God. This... Okay, when you look at the banner to this podcast, this is weird because this is kind of like some sort of Terminator timeline, but the banner that you've already seen, I'm showing Nick now for the first time, and we're going to start giggling for probably about the next 5 minutes straight. This is a promotional still from the film, the black and white one that's on the banner.
Movies just have to wonder when a movie like this is getting made. Does everybody realize that they're making something just so completely over the top and ridiculous, or are they just so caught up in the moment that they just say, hey, fuck it, we're just making a movie and we don't really realize it? But yeah.
There's no way you don't know you're making a movie like this.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably
It is an impossibility that you don't know you're making this movie.
And, you know, again, it's just, it's sort of just, you watch the film and you say to yourself, all right, I've seen this element before. I've kind of seen this bit before. But you haven't really seen it all put together the way that Glickenhaus did. And it's not like it's the greatest movie in the world, but it's just really entertaining. And,
yes,
you know, and it's sometimes... And this goes to a conversation that we just had. We were recording another podcast. Sometimes you just want a movie that doesn't need to announce itself other than for what it is. And it just wants to entertain you, and it just wants to have some fun. And that's what a lot of these movies that we're going to do with this series, that's what they do. Regardless of the low budget, some of the really bad special effects, the overreaching maybe in some of the production areas, They provide entertainment value, and that's always what I'm looking for. You know, it's sort of at the end of the day.
Right. I'm incorrect in saying that the French Blu-ray is Sam Elliott's ass in Levi's. I don't know why I thought that, probably because that's what it should be. But it's part of the Midnight Collection that I don't know the label that put it out, but I don't know, man. You know what's interesting about this, and this is perfect for the Blu-ray, the French Blu-ray, is it looks like it's the ported over VHS cover art, and in the bottom left-hand corner where the VHS logo is, it's slashed out in red.
Oh. And do we know why?
Well, it would lead me to believe that, here, I'm going to send it to you right now, that the cover art that they used is the VHS cover art. Probably it was like in a clamshell or something like that. And that's why the VHS logo is down at the bottom. And it's slashed out in red. So it's like a throwback disc, right?
Ah.
See what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh, yes. You know what? I think I maybe did come across this at one point, and...
I feel like when I was a little kid at the Dollar Video, I'd seen this.
That's right. Midnight Collection. That's right. Yep, you punked me on that. I'm going to have to get this. Interesting. Very interesting. How do you not, I mean, if you have a region-free player, how are you not getting this?
Right. Well, I don't have a region-free player yet, so I'm kind of lucky.
Midnight Collection. What
else is in this Midnight Collection?
The Midnight Collection. Is there a listing maybe of what the Midnight Collection?
I don't know. I'm on a French website, and I took French 2 years in high school. But I mean, whatever. I know how to play. I know how to say I play football in American. But no, I don't see anything else here on the translate. I don't know, but this Midnight Collection just seems like I struck gold here.
Yeah, this just looks like looks like your research is going to end up costing me more money. I don't know, just for the sheer cover art alone on this and this whole...
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh. What else is on the Midnight Collection?
Time to Kill Blu-ray, but it's The Exterminator. That's his first film, isn't it? Yes, it is.
So the
Glickenhaus's first film, yeah, so, and it's the same setup, same exact cover art, but just with like that film in there. So, but I don't know what else we got here.
So the French are big James Glickenhaus fans.
Oh, dude, if they have McBain,
then everything's over.
Anyway, back to Blue Jean Cop.
Well, it looks like you may have struck gold here with this Midnight Collection. You're going to have to get me some information on this.
That is what I'm going to be doing tonight. Is probably buying a region-free Blu-ray player and buying this film.
And then being forced to buy.
I haven't seen The Exterminator, because you said The Exterminator is like legitimately good, right?
The Exterminator is a movie that
what movie did he make that was like, it was one of his earlier ones that's fucking right on?
He did this real, okay, I do not think that I have seen The Exterminator. I've heard of it, and I've heard it's really nasty. I believe that The Exterminator is a Death Wish. It's in like the
Death Wish. Yeah, I think that's it then.
He made a time travel kids movie. That, of course, now the name is escaping me at the moment. That is a film that I watched when I was a kid. Super low budget. But I'm trying to remember. I think that Glickenhaus's his top dog movies were Shakedown and McBain.
I can't find any more of these midnight movies. This is gonna be my thing tonight. I know it.
Yeah, we need to find out about this midnight series.
Midnight Collection Blu-ray. Oh, it looks like there's a box set. What is it? Damn it, I can't see it, because it's Maniac Cop, The Exterminator, and then something in French. Hang on, there's more. Oh, here we go. You're fucked. I'm fucked, dude. The Red Scorpion is the other one. No. Oh, no. The fucking Lundgren movie, dude.
Uh-oh. I gotta see this. You have to send me this this link.
I'm sending you the link. Guys, this is cool because this almost should be like a live stream. We should do one of these live. I don't know how long. But this is going to be it for now because we're going to keep these short. This is going to be the longest one we're doing because we just wanted to give you a quick little intro. I don't know what our next film's going to be, but I'm going to pick the next one, and not to tease too many people here, but it may be Men at Work with Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Because that movie is fucking great.
Yeah, we won't spoil the fun, but we can if people enjoy these types of movies, we're going to have a lot of fun with this series, and we're definitely got some choice titles coming up. So look out for these little mini podcasts in the future.